Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
I'll tell you what I was going to do today. I had my notes just about all done. Went to save them, and I lost it all. And there was no recovery. So I briefly started to get concerned, and then I just said, forget this, I'm going to the meeting. So I went to the meeting last night, and it was a good meeting. But tell you what I wanted to do today. I kind of want to open it up for questions and see if anybody has any questions about anything, really. And it can be anything from questions we've taught, things we've taught in the past, to where are we going? It's the beginning of the year, might as well, you know, talk a little bit about that. But so I'm just going to open it up to you guys, and if you guys have any questions about anything at all, you know, open floor, go ahead and raise your hand and go ahead.
In the scriptures, it talks about the man that was at sea that got stirred up on the air and said he could never get to school. But I'm sure, you know, through the course of that, there were other people that needed healing that didn't get healed.
Well, I mean, having not been there, you know, I could interject some things maybe, but I know that what the scripture says, if I'm remembering correctly, it says that he was there for 38 years. And the Spirit of the Lord pointed that out to Jesus, that this man had been there for 38 years. And understand this, that Jesus acted on what the Spirit of God directed him, and he drew his attention to that particular man. You know, why there wasn't other ones, I don't know. I can't speak to that really, but the fact is that Jesus said, I do what I see my Father doing, and he wasn't necessarily healing because he was directed to. The fact is the Spirit of God directed him specifically to that individual. So he just followed that. And then he asked him, do you want to be healed? You know, because he knew, he had a knowing on the inside of him. And I really believe, you know, just kind of a sidebar on that. This year is going to be a fantastic year for you guys if you're willing to go the ride. Because the Spirit of God wants to teach us how he operates. And it's not as complicated as it's been made out to be. But the fact is, if you look in the Gospels, you'll see that Jesus functioned a great deal on knowings. He just had a knowing, you know, and it was that connection, you know. And in other situations, it says in the text that he was moved by compassion. I'm sure that that was there when his attention was keyed in on the individual, but it doesn't say that necessarily in the text, at least that I can remember. But to answer your question, it was just the fact that specifically the Spirit of God directed his attention to that man. Tried for 38 years, wasn't getting it done, and so the Spirit of God, you know, he just directed him to him. I can't really give much more than that. If the Spirit of God shows you something else when I study that some more, then I'll share it with you another time. But that's the best I got. If anybody else has got something better, then...
Well, I was going to say, I mean, there could have been more healing that day as well. And it says that if they wrote, they couldn't even write every time they
Well, yeah. Right. Right. Let me draw your attention to this scripture, if I can find it. Yeah, go to Luke chapter 5. I just happen to have it open. They're right there. Luke chapter 5. And I want to draw your attention to this, and we're going to remove some words from the verse. Not that they're wrong or that they're bad, it's just they're not there in the original text. And so in an attempt to make it more clear, I think we've kind of, without realizing it, put a bias in that shouldn't be there. And Luke chapter 5, look at verse 17, it says, "One day Jesus was teaching, and there were some Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting there who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem." And notice the next verse, and it says, "The power of the Lord," now your verse says something to this effect, "The power of the Lord was present for him to perform healing." It implies, the word presence not there in the Greek text. But we put it in there, but it implies that it sometimes it's present and sometimes it's not. But that's not, it wasn't there. The fact is what that verse says is wherever Jesus was, the power of God was there to heal. The power of God was to heal everywhere he went. So, you know, like Pastor Shelby's saying, we don't necessarily know that that was the only person that got set free. We just know that that was the one the Spirit of God shone a flashlight on and let us get a glimpse of. So, does that make sense? Anything else? Anybody else? I know y'all have questions. Come on. Oh, go ahead. Well, it certainly applies, yeah. I'm going to go one step farther than that, because really when you're talking about flesh, because Paul talks about, when he uses it in, I think it's in Romans chapter 9, I think it is, he talks about his people according to the flesh. Okay, and really, I don't care whether you're talking about, you know, an unrenewed mind or just a natural human being. A natural human being's mind is not renewed. You know, there's no difference. There's not a natural man and then an unrenewed man, an unrenewed mind man, and then there just isn't. It's just you're either functioning out of your head or you're not. So it doesn't really, you know. We can talk about it in the confines of just being Christian. We can, sure, but the fact is, a man is a man is a man is a man. And as a new man, the new man is wired to function out of his spirit, not out of his mind. Right? And if he's going to function out of his mind, then his mind needs to be renewed to be submitted to his spirit. That's why we stay in the Word and we read the Word and we spend time with the Spirit of God, and he tweaks our thought processes to get us to think like the new man, because your mind left to itself will think like the natural man. So, you know, in that context, I'm not saying he's wrong, he's not. It's just basically saying the same thing. But I go one step further, because I'm not speaking to just people that are Christian. We're looking at humanity as humanity. Jesus did what he did not for Christians. He did it for every human being that's breathing. So the reality of the resurrection is a reality for every human being that's breathing, not just somebody who comes into a church. So the way I talk about things, from that place, natural man versus new man, because that's really the only dividing there is. You're either a natural man or you're a new man. You're walking in your new man or you're walking in your old man. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're a new creation, you got his nature, but you're living over here. You're living out of your head. You're living out of your emotions. You're living out of what your eyes see, your ears hear, and all that kind of stuff. And you're not training your mind to submit to what your spirit is getting from the Spirit of God. There really isn't any difference. So I know in that standpoint, Andrew Womack uses, he defines certain places where it talks about the flesh as the unrenewed mind, and that is certainly true. But when did a natural man ever have anything close to a renewed mind anyway? So we might as well just conclude him as the flesh means you're walking in your natural man. That's the way I describe it. Does that make sense? Okay. Yeah. I knew there would probably be some questions, and, you know, I was thrilled that, you know, from what I heard of Creflo and what I heard from Andrew yesterday, you know, we're all saying the same thing, which is nice. You know, I may describe it a little bit different way, but I describe it that way on purpose because that's my assignment, and I believe we need to speak with clarity, not in Christianese to human beings, but in terms that they understand because they're a natural man. So that's the way that's the reason I speak the way I speak and communicate the way I communicate, because we're dealing with human beings. So anyway. Does that answer your question good enough? Or okay. Anybody else? I can see it all over your face, brother. Yeah, absolutely. Well, see, even with what the Spirit of the Lord did for Beverly, I'll tell you, this is what's exciting to me is, you know, I get glimpses of where the Lord's taken us. And I think that this was even mentioned. I know I've mentioned it here, and I think it was mentioned in the last couple of days, that the world really hasn't heard the gospel. They really haven't. Because, like we've said here, the gospel is the power of God, and the gospel of grace isn't the gospel of grace unless signs and wonders follow it. I mean, we can't separate that out and say, well, we're still going to keep the words, but we're going to exclude the person and the presence and the power that, you know, accompanies the presence, and we're still going to call it the grace, the message of grace. It's just not. It's fabricated, and it's just not accurate. But I can tell you this, that, you know, and I've said this before, human beings are created for their presence to be fused together with the presence of the Lord. We're created to be that way. The Lord said, let's make man in our image, after our likeness. Well, if we're after his likeness, that means we're thinking like him, we're seeing things like him, we're speaking like him because we resemble him. So man is created for that, for the two to be one. But natural man really hasn't experienced what man looks like with the presence of man fused together with the presence of God. And I believe that's what, all over the world, that's what the Spirit of God is doing. Is he's bringing us from a place of just knowing doctrines to knowing him. And knowing how to interact with him. And when we do that, natural man is going to experience what he's supposed to be experiencing. Let me just go run over here real quick. Go over to 2 Corinthians. And I just want to bring this back to your remembrance. Actually, it's 1 Corinthians, excuse me, chapter 2. First Corinthians chapter 2, and I'm going to be honest with you. I when I read the word, I don't want to get stuck in ruts. You know what I mean when I say that? You know, if you think you know what the verse is saying, you're just going to read right over the top of it. Oh, I know that. So you just keep on reading. You miss stuff. Because when I read the word, and again, I think this was mentioned in the last few days, but when I read the word, I ask the Spirit of God, I want to teach me how to think like my daddy. I want to think like my daddy. I want to see things like my daddy sees them. And so I'm reading these verses, and I've read these verses a bunch of times. And it goes on, it says in chapter 2, look at verse, let's see. Oh, let's go up to verse 8. It says, yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature, wisdom, however, not of this age, or not of the rulers of this age, who are passing away. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden, which God predestined before the ages to our glory, which none of the rulers of this age have understood. For if they had understood them, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it's written, and he quotes an Old Testament verse, these things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. Now, I've read those verses a bunch of times. And the Spirit of the Lord arrested my attention one time, and he pulled me back to those verses. And he said, did you notice that Paul said he speaks a wisdom that's been hidden, but which is predestined before the ages? And then he went on to say that it has not entered into the heart of man, and he hasn't seen it. And he said, there are things, man needs to understand experientially that there are things that are supposed to be entering his heart, and there's things that he's supposed to be seeing that he's not seeing. The only way he's going to know that there's things that are supposed to be coming into his heart and rising up in his heart, and there are things that he's supposed to be seeing, is if he's standing in front of someone who those things are entering into their heart, and he is seeing those things, and he demonstrates them in front of his face. That's why it's foolish for us to get stuck in a mindset that there really isn't any interaction with the Spirit of God real time today, because he did all that stuff a long time ago, but he doesn't do it anymore. So what you're telling me is that a human being that's breathing in 2014 is somehow different and wired different than a human being that was living during the first century church age. Well, we wouldn't say that. That's just ignorance. And like I've said before, if you know, Jesus even said it, the world will not receive anything it does not see. They cannot receive the Holy Spirit because they cannot see Him. 1 Samuel says that God looks on the inward, man looks on the heart. Excuse me, backwards, the other way around. God looks on the heart, man looks on the outward. So why have we tried to communicate a gospel to natural man that is just print without demonstration that's tangible that he can understand? See, I promise you, I had an encounter the other night. I went to a Taco Bell. You know, I won't lean too much on this. I went to a Taco Bell, you know, and my son and I, and, you know, we've been talking a lot about lifestyle. You know, I don't have a thing against outreaches, but frankly, I'd rather just have a whole mess of thousands upon thousands of people in a church that just, it was just a lifestyle to let Holy Spirit out wherever we are. You know, and I'm going to get into that in the next couple of weeks. We're going to talk about how the Spirit of God really has shifted us in the church away from what we created in a certain model and what he's creating now. It's different. And, you know, I can always, you can spot when we're functioning on the old model because we say certain things, we expect certain things to happen in a certain way, and I'll get into the next couple of weeks on that. But I'm telling you that the model that is the New Testament church, we've talked about it a great deal in the last year, is number one, we're preaching, we're teaching, we're declaring the gospel of the kingdom. And that's not in the sweet by and by, it's right here, right now. And the Holy Spirit is the agent of that kingdom. So I'm at Taco Bell, and we got done eating. And, you know, a guy came in. My son and I were sitting in the back, and a guy came in. And I saw him out there when we came inside. And, you know, it was obviously this guy's homeless. You know, the bike with the backpack, bedroll, and everything else up on it is a pretty good indication. So, you know, I wasn't led by the Spirit there, but, you know, it's pretty obvious. But he came in, and I listened to him. I'm sitting in the back, and I listened to him, and I listened to him order. And he ordered one single thing, and that's all he ordered, the cheapest thing on the menu. And so I jumped out of my chair, and I went up there, and I told him, hey, you order whatever you want to order. You know, I'm telling you this not because you can go, oh, Pastor, nice. No, I'm telling you that for a number of reasons. But number one, we ought to be equipped to bring the blessing wherever we are, right? And that should be our mindset. Wherever we are, we bring the blessing. You know, Paul said in Romans 15 that when he came to them, he would be, you know, the blessing would be upon him. The blessing is upon you. We need to let it out. We need to, you know, when you go into a business, and I'm kind of letting you see where we're going this year. You know, we're going to develop a culture. We're going to develop a mindset that wherever we are, I don't care if you go into anybody's business, you make sure that, you know, what would happen if we as a people, everywhere we went, all over the city, anytime we went there, we went in and we blessed the business. Every place we are, whatever business we go into, we bless the business. If it's a small business and the owner's there, then we just, you know, stir up a conversation, engage them in conversation, and tell them, you know, I'm going to pray for the prosperity of your business, and see if they'll open up, and see if we can, if they have any infirmities going on in their body, we can pray for them right then and there, and see the kingdom come upon them, the presence of the Lord upon them. But bring the blessing wherever we are. So I did that. And he, because of pride and things, he only ordered one other thing. But so he went out and he ate that, and my son and I finished up, and then I went outside and I talked to him a little bit. And it's clear he wasn't in his right mind. You know, he had something going on with him. But you know what? That didn't stop me from declaring, speaking to him, how he was created to function. I said, you're hearing voices right now, but you're created to only hear one. You're created to hear the voice of the Spirit of God. I said, and you're not Jesus because I know him. He wasn't saying that derogatory. No, he just, people told me he was. And I said, you're not him. But I began to minister him. I began to speak to him. And you know, as I was doing that, here's what happened. The Spirit of the Lord showed me a picture. Now listen to what I'm saying, folks. The Spirit of the Lord showed me a picture of a man who was dressed in a very expensive suit. Now looking at this guy, man, he had, his hands were leathery. He had gotten bitten by a spider or something and it screwed up his hands. But I saw this and I told him, I prayed over him, and when I got this, I told him, I said, let me tell you something. I said, the next time you see me, very possibly, you'll have to remind me who you are, because I won't recognize, because you'll look different. Because you've got business in you. And you're going to wake up one day and you're going to be in your right mind. You're going to have clarity of thought. And the Spirit of the Lord is going to wake up that business that's in you. And it's going to take you to a place of being prosperous, and you'll have, next time I see you, very possibly could be when you'll have a suit on, this expensive suit. I was just given what was in my spirit. I saw it. Folks, ministering to people, you don't have to know 80,000 scriptures. You just have to be willing to practice. I didn't have nothing when I sat down next to him. Nothing at all. I'm like, oh dear Jesus, help me with something. Give me something. And we talked for a long time, and it seemed like a lot of nothing. He's telling me about his past, and he telling me about all kinds of stuff. And it wasn't until really after I had already prayed for him that I was getting ready to leave, because I had to get my son to work, that the Spirit of God showed me this. It was just a flash. I saw it. It wasn't what I was looking at. Folks, that's all it takes to just hang around with the Holy Spirit. But I'm telling you, this year, the more you're willing just to talk to people, this stuff starts developing in you, and he's going to bring you to a place of, this book will no longer just have a certain dimension to it. It's going to be 3D. Because that's the way it's designed to be. It's designed to be 3D. I love the Word, and I love studying it, and I love listening to CDs and teachings and things like that, but that's only one dimensional. Still. It doesn't become three-dimensional until you learn to know Him and function with Him, and you learn how He functions through you. And the more you step out and practice, the more it gets fine-tuned and fine-tuned and fine-tuned. And then pretty soon, you know, you wake up one day and you're like the people you used to run and see. The only difference between them and you is they practiced more, you haven't practiced that much yet. That's the only difference. So, hold on to your hats. And just be willing to, you know, I'm saying don't even take it over into the realm of uncomfortable and weird. Because then your mind shuts down and nothing happens and you can't get nothing. I'm just saying, you know, hey, just be willing. You know, I'm going to put this challenge to you. I think the Spirit of God gave me this the other day. this year, find one thing you haven't been willing to do before, trample that and do it. And then keep doing it until it's no longer anything big to you at all. And then find out what's the next thing that I've kind of been unwilling to do. It's kind of been, you know, a little bit, you know. Then trample that and do that. And then do that until it's no longer a big deal. I'm telling you, let me tell you this. Talking to people in public used to scare the living daylights out of me. I mean, I asked my wife when first married, she thought I was a bad... No, never mind. Because I never talked to anybody. You know, I never talked to anybody. You know, I would use a book. This is convenient. Because I don't have to deal with nobody. You know, and I still like studying, I still like reading, but see, only you know if things you do because it's safe. Nobody else knows that, you know. And for me, you know, people are like, man, you study a lot. Yeah, I study a lot because I don't have to deal with nobody. Yeah, just me and Jesus, and, you know, if I didn't have Jesus, I'd have my chihuahua.
And he didn't talk to you.
Yeah. Anyway, but I'm just saying, in 2014, we're going to close right now. But let me just do this, and because this is where the Spirit of God has taken us, and it's too exciting for me. I can't really stand it. Because our focus is not going to be on building this church. I knew that would get you guys. What do you mean? I'm not saying I'm going to stay here either. I'm just telling you this is the difference between the accurate model of what the Spirit of God is doing in the earth versus the old one that we used to run. Our focus and our assignment is to minister the kingdom to people out there. His business is this. He said he'd build his church. Our job is to minister to people out there, bring the kingdom, bring the presence, bring the blessing, let Jesus talk to them. He'll take care of this. And boy, will he take care of this. You know? So that's where we're going. And every place we go, we're just going to be a blessing. Don't get weird. Don't get crazy on me. Just talk to people. Love people. Give them the blessing to them. If you don't know how to do that, then do this. Find one thing you can compliment them about and do that. You want to say that? Yeah. Yeah.
It was just that one. I can wait 10 minutes to ride and get it, but I can still wait a minute.
But you change the environment.
Yeah.
And that's really what we're talking about, folks, is everyone in this room, I don't care what you think you're qualified for, you are qualified to change an environment that you walk into. So we're just gonna do it. And you wait. You wait and see what Jesus does. You better like people because there's going to be a bunch of them around. Not because you invited somebody, but because God took care of building the church and we took care of the kingdom business. Because our business is Daddy's business, right? His business is the church. Our business is Daddy's business. So let's just have fun, do Daddy's business. Amen? Did you guys get anything out of this at all? Well, go ahead and stand up. Put your hand on yourself. Say this. Thank you, Jesus, that you've qualified me and made me an able minister of the new covenant. I thank you that signs, wonders, the presence, and the power of God follow me wherever I go. I thank you for wisdom, revelations from heaven. I thank you for words of wisdom, gifts of healings, working of miracles, and the flow of the prophetic from Daddy's mind into my spirit. I thank you for the kingdom, that it's in me and it comes out of me every place I am. And I thank you for the fruit. In Jesus' name. You believe that? Well, amen.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.